You might like to turn in your Bible, please, to the Gospel of John and chapter 10. Perhaps we can have a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you have in mind. Spirit of God, make that all happen. Make it happen because of you, our Lord and Savior. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Remember, the Gospel of John is written just before the book of Revelation. John's the last living apostle. His assignment, the penman to write, his assignment is to present God in his wonderful person, in the person of Jesus Christ. And summing up all of history, bringing together all of time in the light of eternity. All the scripture, all God's wonderful working. It's all about you, God, and your wonderful, creative, redemptive purpose. So that's the Gospel of John. So now, when we've been reading, studying, it's all about God has put it in order to reveal his wonderful person. Now, just to pick up where we are going, you have chapter 10, but if you go back to chapter 8 for a moment, and let me follow me, we're going to go right back to chapter 10, but you want the movement, the thought. Not that you've forgotten it. Not that you've forgotten what we've done. Not at all. Now, John chapter 8, 58. Our Lord finishes, I am the light of the world. And thus, and their query, their quest, verse 58, he answers it directly. Jesus said unto them, verse 58, verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, therefore, before Abraham was, I am. I am the one who created Abraham before he ever existed. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And the problem was, verse 58, the last word, last verb, I am, I am, I am, Exodus 3:14, I am that I am has sent me. What's your name, Lord, said Moses? I am who I am, I can never be other than who I am, I'm always who I am, I am. And that's the highest we can go. And the Jews, wow, did they react, they're going to stone him, and they didn't throw one of the stones. Now, what did you do? You then went, leaving the temple. You found the beggars, the cripples, out there begging, getting money from people and stuff. And you found a blind man who couldn't see. And you didn't say, you didn't do anything. You picked up stuff, made some mud, and stuck it in his eyes and said, go wash in the pool. And he did that. And the blind man saw. He saw. The blind man went back home and tried to tell everybody that he now sees what he had never seen in his whole life. He'd been blind from birth. And you know what? They just didn't appreciate, didn't understand, and figured some odd, terrible thing, bad thing of the devil must have happened. That kind of stuff. And they just didn't honor him. They wouldn't honor it. And so finally, that blind man met the Lord Jesus, and he said, and the Lord Jesus said, I'm the one that did that to you. And then he believed. And thus, John chapter 9, and in verse 37, of verse 36, then answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Verse 37, chapter 9, and Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen, and it is he that talketh with thee. Verse 38, and he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him, and he believed. He wonderfully, wonderfully believed. Now, in the process of all of that, here's the blind man, here are the disciples, the apostles, here they all are, here's the crowd, and now, God, what are you going to do? The blind man receives you, and you go out of the temple, and in going out, you see the blind man, and the purpose of the blind man is what? To explain why the blind man was healed, why he was given sight. That's verse 39, 40, and 41 in chapter 9. Now, we aren't going to read it, but that's the idea. And the Pharisees, the blind man believed and saw, had sight. The Pharisees did not believe. They thought they saw, but they were very, very, very blind. Blind, spiritually blind, the worst blindness there is. They didn't believe. So God, what did you do? You then went and gave him a parable, chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. You gave him the parable of the shepherd and the sheep. And there's thousands of sheep all around Jerusalem, all kinds of places around Jerusalem. The sheep for sacrifice, they had more sheep. They didn't use sheep so much to eat as they did for sacrifice and wool and that kind of thing. So shepherds, it's the way of life. Shepherds, sheep, sacrifice. They knew all about that. What was the problem? Chapter 10 and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheep, of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And he did the little illustration, which they very much would understand, except he said in verse 1, the door. What door? They want to know what door it is. Here's the sheep going all over the place. Shepherds. What door? Where's the door? Not that through them. So now they're reacting to the door. And they got a problem. They didn't want to understand the parable. They didn't want to put the pieces together. The blind man and the sheep and the shepherd, they didn't want to do it. So now chapter 10. And in verse 7, he explains to them straightway the problem. He gave them the parable, he gave them the illustration, and now he says, I understand you guys are all hung up account of, I said, the door. Verse 7, chapter 10, then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And boy, that got him. I'm the door. So now, he said that, and he then goes through verse 16 and that. And he does all, and they react. The negative, 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 negative. Chapter 10, verse 19. And there was a division, therefore again, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He has a devil, a demon, and is mad, he's crazy. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath the devil, a demon. Can a demon, a devil, open the eyes of the blind? Now, that's in September. We're going to go 2 months later. Remember the Feast of Tabernacle back here, chapter 7, verse 2? And that's all this whole section to chapter 10, 21. Now, chapter 10, 2 months go by, and we're now talking about December, November, December 25th. It's the Feast of Dedication, which we studied, chapter 10, verse 22. 2 months later. Now, have they let up? No. And he's there in the temple again, as we shared together. And they're going to come now, And verse 20, remember, they're looking now, always pressing. Pressing. Verse 24, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long doth thou make us to doubt? How long are you going to make us doubting? How long are you going to keep us in suspense? We're holding our breath. We're waiting. And that was their mood. How long? And they're giving the impression, boy, what? God, tell us. They didn't really want to know at all. But tell us. And thus you have, in verse 24, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly, tell us very clearly. And he never answers them directly. And they had a problem. So God, they had a question, tell us who you are. And he already had given all the way down the line. They're trying to stone him, catch him, imprison him, trick him, trap him. And here they are again. We're on the last little space now where there's only 2 or 3, 4 months at the most where he's going to be crucified. So we're at the end. And they're on. They never quit. They never stop. So now, Jesus answered, his answer, verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed me, you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but they wouldn't pay attention to the works. And remember now, thousands of people, it has to be, people are healed, fed, all kinds of everything, whatever a problem was. Everyone, you'd be hard to, I would guess at this point, after three and a half years almost, I would guess it would be hard to go anywhere, in Jerusalem especially, in Israel, and not find somebody that he hadn't healed. Wow. But that doesn't matter. No, none of that matters, because we have an agenda. We're after something to get him. And thus in verse 26, but you believe not, verse 10:26, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. And now that's the next. I am the door. And now he's going to say, you're not my sheep. Shepherd, sheep. The sheep belong to the shepherd. The shepherd belongs to the sheep. You're not my sheep. And they're all looking. Wow. Not my sheep. And now, God, you're going to help me some more and help them? I am. You're going to put it right on the table. You're not my sheep. Let me tell you about my sheep. Verse 27. Now, remember now, it's very personal. Verse 27, the first word, pronoun, my, M-Y, my sheep. I want you to know, they're my sheep. I'm standing in front of all these people, the Jews and Pharisees and all of that, and I'm telling you they're my sheep. I know my sheep, all right? My sheep, they're sheep, that's right. And they have been purchased. I created them, I purchased them, I redeemed them, and they have believed. And they will receive the Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're my sheep. And my sheep, in particular, are marked. My sheep hear with the ear to listen to understand. It's in the present tense. They are hearing. They are presently hearing my voice. They're hearing my voice. I'm giving it. I'm saying it. And I'm talking to them. And they hear me when I talk. Over to, hold your finger here just a sec, to chapter 5 of John, as you know. In chapter 5, picking up please, in verse 24. Verily, verily, assuredly, assuredly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verse 24, he that heareth my words. Remember, Israel heard the words of God as a nation, and they made it clear to Moses, we don't want to hear God speak again to us like that. And they didn't, not except in a bad way, in a judgment way. So now, in the light of that, in John 24, he that heareth my word, my sheep hear. Hang on, let me do it just a little more. Over to Romans and chapter 10. Hearing, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says. So God, that's why we have ears to hear, the inner ear, the ear of the heart. And so here in chapter 10 of the book of Romans, if I may, chapter 10, and I'll read, if I can, verse 16, a little context. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now, so then, in the light of that, in the light of they don't want to hear, verse 16. Verse 17, so then faith, little word the in front of it, the faith, the body of truth that we believe. You believe, that's faith. Faith believes the belief, the body of truth that is to be believed. You believe what God said. He that heareth my word. Verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by, comes out of hearing, it's the source. The source is hearing, and the report, hearing the report, and by means of the word of God, God gives his word, and faith comes by hearing. Now, and just to pick up so that you don't have to turn there, if you read Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, any boy, girl, man, or woman hears my voice, V-O-I-C-E, that's the word hear. Hear my voice. Hear my voice. Hear my voice. Faith cometh by hearing. Voice. Faith cometh by my voice. I'm speaking. Hear me. Hear ye. This is my beloved son. What? Hear ye him. Hear him. Now, so my sheep hear, and they have ears to hear. They need to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God says. And he that hath ears to hear, God, you said it how many times? Let him hear. Be hearing then. Have a hearing ear. Over to John chapter 10. So in the process now, my sheep, verse 27, 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Now, in the language, all kinds of figurative language, all kinds of language, the rules of language, and in the Greek, in particular, Greek and some other, in the Greek, when you take and you want to say something, there's ways to express things. And when you want to bring something to a climax, think of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace. There's no A-N-D. Love, joy, peace. You're moving. Boom, boom, boom. Like steps in a rock. Moving across the water. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. To get on the other side. It's a way to bring yourself to a climax. Quickly. And all the way. Why are you going to list the fruit of the Spirit? To get me over here. That's right. When you don't have any ends. When you use ends, in this case, what are you saying? A and D. I want you to, I'll read it. You'll catch it. My sheep, verse 27, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, three more times. Five times. It means each time, stop, think, absorb, then go to the next one. It isn't quickly, it's slow. Pay attention, what I'm telling you, one, two, three, four, five. What's the first one? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I know them. And remember we did that over in chapter 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know, same verb, know my sheep, and am known of mine. Known, mine. And the word is used again, as the Lord illustrates in verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The little word know means, some words know, you look out, and I know the sun is shining. Use it with people, it's easy. People, you know, I know, I'm looking and talking to you. And some of you know you're looking and talking and listening to me. Knowing. The knower is knowing, and that which is known is knowing the knower. It's a connection, a relationship. It comes together. It's a knowing, not just knowing something. Knowing. It's a knowing, connecting. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. We are knowing. We have a unique knowing. Knowing. We know each other. And you know from chapter 10, over if I can, picking up in verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, verse 5. And a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know, K-N-O-W, that not the voice of the stranger. They're knowing. My sheep know. What was the wonderful thing about sheep? You couldn't trick them. You could say the same words, all different thing. When the shepherd of the sheep, they had some, not the sheep, the butcher, when he takes the sheep to the slaughterhouse, he drives them. The shepherd leads his sheep. He leads them. He goes before them. And he leads them. He isn't interested in slaughtering them. He's leading them. And in the process of all of that, in the process, he is knowing them. And they have a unique, wonderful relationship to each other. And the shepherd, shepherd has a way to say something, and they put all the sheep in the big fold, the shelter for the night, and you have your little group of sheep, you have your group of sheep, and you have your group of sheep, and you all got the group of sheep in there, and what are you doing with a group of sheep? Well, here comes the shepherd in the morning, and he calls, and only those sheep will come that know his voice. No other sheep will come. He couldn't get them to come. And someone else couldn't get them to come. They know his voice. My sheep know me. They know me. There's no one else, God, like you. That's right. And, verse 27, and my sheep who know my voice like that, and those sheep that knowing a unique relationship, they are going to go and follow me. And they, second thing, the sheep, stop and think about it. My sheep know me, second voice. Second, they're following me. My sheep are following me. That's what they're doing. And that's present tense. They're following, to accompany, to follow away, to move quickly with somebody, to imitate, to be conformed in the same, moving in the same direction. My sheep follow me. They follow me. Follow me. My sheep follow me. Now, in the light of that, so we have the sheep. They're marked. My sheep hear. So if you want to know my sheep, pay attention to who they hear. Pay attention. If you want to know my sheep, They follow me. You people don't hear me and don't follow me. My sheep hear me and they follow me. They follow me. Wherever I go, they're following me. Now, you know, or if you would, we'll hold your finger here, and we'll go over to Matthew chapter 4 just for a moment. Easy and quick. Matthew chapter 4. And may I pick up, please, Matthew 4, verse 18. He's calling his disciples, or thus apostles, down the road here. And verse 18, 4 and 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers of men, fishers of fish. And he saith unto them, follow me, there's your word, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. So here's their net, here's the fish, but you know what? He said, follow me, a command, come. And they just dropped their net like the fire would do in the firehouse. If the alarm rings, and we're about to stick a fork into the food, the alarm rings, and you get out of your seat and try to find a fire engine and come. You're moving. They followed him, and he never said it again. He didn't need to say again, follow me. He does say it in Peter, in a little. You have to get the context. Picking up, if I can, verse 21. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. So we didn't go home to check with the wife. We didn't give any call. We just went. That's what you did. God called and they went. Wow. My sheep hear with the ear, and my sheep follow with the feet. That's what they do. My sheep follow me wherever I go. Over to John again. John chapter 8. And all kinds of places, just enough to see it. John 8. And picking up, if I can, in verse 12. 8 and 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth, there's your word, me, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. They follow. My sheep follow me. That's what they do. And over to chapter 12 of John. John chapter 12. And picking up, if I can, in verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So God, my sheep, the Lord said, they follow me. That's what my sheep do. How do you know they're your sheep? They follow me. The sheep know me, I know them. I'm looking for them, they're looking for me. Now, in the light of that, let me go back to one Old Testament thing to get the mood. Hold your finger here. And over to Numbers. Numbers chapter 14 again. And in the Old Testament, when we speak of following, in Numbers chapter 14, picking up if I can, remember the wilderness journey and 40 years they wandered in the wilderness, and they wandered. God shepherded them in the wilderness. You'll pick it up if you're in chapter 14. Look at verse 33. And the children and your children shall wander, feeding in the wilderness 40 years. And bear your whoredoms, your unbelief, until that your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. In other words, God's got everyone over 20 would end up dying because they didn't believe. And the people are going to wander. And now God, and the word wander, is to shepherd. I'm going to feed, nourish, guide. How do you think Israel, as we shared before, how do they survive in the place of death, barren desert? No water, no food, no growth. God did it. For 40 years, morning, noon, and night, God kept them, fed them, water, gave water to them. He shepherded them. Did they deserve to be shepherded? No. Could they have survived in the wilderness? Never. 2.5 million people? Never. Never. God, you did it. That's right. Now, Caleb, what did you do? Chapter 14 again. And picking up, please, in verse 22, you'll see it. Because all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. They're not going to see it. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit, he isn't like them, another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully. There's what follow, fully, completely. I took a step and he took a step. He was right behind me. He wanted to go and follow whatever instructions were needed. And him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now that was true of Joshua. That was true of Caleb. God, he followed closely. How did you know the rest of them did? Did they follow? Never. Never. Joshua and Caleb are going to end up living after 40 years. But that's not true for the rest of them. They're all going to die. All going to die. Wow. And Caleb, just to show you how he followed, chapter 13 of Numbers, 13, and picking up, please, in verse 30, 13 and 30, Caleb, I'm looking at Caleb, who followed the Lord with all his heart. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, that's the land, for we are well able to overcome. We're quite able to do the job, looking to fulfill God's word and God's honoring God's will. That's what we want. He followed completely. My sheep know my voice, and I know them. We talk. We communicate. We're a relationship. They follow me. Wherever I go, they go. Whatever I want, they want. That's what they do. That's my sheep. John chapter 10. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now we're going to do that, but I don't have time right now. I need to take a moment to just go back a bit to put it together so you see it. My sheep have an ear to hear, and they have feet to follow. Now, Caleb, you did it. I did. Joshua, you did it. They did. The Pharisees and the Jews at that time before the Lord, they weren't good. They weren't his sheep. You'll know my sheep. They follow me. I know them. Go with me, please, now to catch the flavor of it. Psalm 23. And you will note, please, David, older, lot of experience. The Lord is my shepherd. That's personal. Jesus said, I know my sheep, My sheep know me. I am the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now we did that, not want, to not to diminish, to reduce, to be wanting, to be lacking. No, in no way, not none of that is missing. None of that. Destitute, deficient, defective, without anything. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not worry. I shall not wish. I shall not wander. God, you're the shepherd. Shepherd leads the sheep. He goes before the sheep. He goes behind the sheep. He goes with the sheep. He's my shepherd, said David. Wow. And he's all I want. He's all I want. The little girl, remember, that couldn't remember the last part of that verse 1, reciting the Lord's 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And then she stuttered and ran off the stage. And as she was running off the stage, she said, he's all I want. That's right. He's all I want. He's all. He's the whole package. That's right. And to get the flavor of following and hearing. Verse 22, verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. I follow him. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's right. He has a wonderful, he could lead me stormy waters, but he leads me beside still waters also. And verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. The wagon ruts is the word. Think of a wagon in the field, and the wagon keeps going through the same path and gets a big track that the wagon wheels just fit in. In the paths of righteousness, why? For his namesake. Oh, yea, though I walk, being led by still waters, being led in paths of righteousness, yea, though I walk through, in the middle of, not bypassing, I'm in the middle of it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, deep darkness, can't see. I will fear no evil. Why not? For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So God, you lead me in the paths of righteousness, and I'm right in the middle of the world, in the dark, in the world doesn't like it. No, it doesn't. But my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. They don't follow the world. They follow me. Follow me. Either I walk through the valley. Wow, I'm in the valley. You're in your heart. You're in your physical body, aren't you? And all of you, in one way or another, have different physical kinds of things you're aware of. And wherever you go, all those things go. You work, home, school, in the area, city, state, country, and you're in the environment. You get out of bed and go to bed, and you're walking in the middle of this world. In the world. The world loves darkness rather than light because the deeds are evil. So God, here we are walking in the middle of the world, and you know what? We're walking, but we're listening to your voice and following you, obedient, looking to you, to honor you. You'll work out your own will, whether, however you lead, in the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, however you're going to go, we're going. You go, we're going. Now, and I'm not going to be afraid, not afraid. What could happen with this? How is this going to work out? What about school, work, home, play, future, work, coming, going? Wow, all these things. I don't know, but I'm not going to worry about them. And I'm not going to let all the terrible things that could be there, they're all there, they all exist. They all exist. But God, I'm looking to you. You're the good shepherd. You loved the sheep and gave yourself for them. God, I know your voice. I'm sticking with you. I'm sticking with you thick and thin. I'm going down the road in the valley of darkness. Aha. Because God, there's no one that's going to work this out except you. And only you can do it. So now we come. And so God, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Because God, you're quite able to take care of me. Absolutely. Verse 5, thou preparest the table before me. It's wonderful to have a table before you. In the presence of mine enemies. Ah, that's different. I'm going to take care of you when everything is against you. Obstacles, opponents, opposition, all over the place. Your own body, your own mind, your own heart, all over the place. But God, you aren't. So God, here we are going, and you're going to prepare a table in the presence of our enemies. So God, are you going to take care of us? Are you going to help us to rejoice in you? Are you going to help us to trust you? Are you going to help us? Here we are going down. And God, all these things could happen. And they are happening. In our world, our country, it's wow. And all the China and Taiwan and Korea and all of them, Iran, they all line up. Russia, they're all doing their thing while they can, you know. They're grabbing every piece of land and power they can get while they can get it. Preparing as we sit back and watch them. Wow. Aha. And they're taking advantage of it, understandably. You know that. You'd be stupid if you didn't take advantage. If the policeman, you can go rob, not that you would, go rob the bank and tell her you want the money, and the policeman's there, and he says, I don't care. I don't care. Go ahead. I'm not even going to take your picture. I'm going to close my eyes. And you need, actually, hamburgers. You want to get two or three of them? So you need a couple of bucks, and you take it, and out you go. And why? Because no one cares. No one cares. No one cares. Who cares? No one. Ah, but God, you care. That's right. So you're going to prepare a table, so we're going to be comfortable when everything says we should be uncomfortable. But we aren't. I shall not want. And, to boot, verse 5, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil. My oil, that means you're going to comfort and soothe and encourage. And my cup's running over. Remember the Eastern Semitic policy, you fill the glass, and you'd fill the glass, and you wouldn't just fill it like that. When you serve it, you'd fill it till it overflowed. What are we saying to you as you drink? There's plenty for you. There's plenty. Wow. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Wow. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Follow me. Uh-huh. We're following you. You lead, and you're following us. Uh-huh. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God, you're going to do all of that. I am. Now, David, did you have a sense of the wonderfulness, that Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd? What do you think? Do you think he was educated and discovered what a shepherd he is? And the thick and thin of it. Boy, you had a tough life, David. But boy, you were right there, God. You were always there. Always there. Now, so, over if you would please. Over to Hebrews. Now, God, how are you going to leave? Here's the shepherd, the sheep, and they follow, and you're the good shepherd, etc., etc. Chapter 13 of Hebrews, picking up if I can, very quickly. Our Lord he's helping, Lord. Here you are, Lord. We're in your presence. You're the good shepherd. What else are you? how else do we understand you? I'm not only the good shepherd, I am the wonderful great shepherd. Verse 20, 13 and 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. God, are you going to go and make it possible for us to have a wonderful life? Absolutely. I have come that you might have life. They might have it wonderfully. You're never going to perish. I'm going to do that for you. And I'm the great shepherd. Verse 21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God, are you going to help us with that? Absolutely. I have a wonderful plan for your life. Either I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God, you're going to get us, and we're going to do it successfully. Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me, and in the process, you're going to be the great shepherd of the sheep, and you're going to give life in the midst of death, in the midst of darkness. You're going to give death. You're going to give light, life, I should say. Now, and remember now, you would say, in that wonderful truth, I am the good shepherd, I am the great shepherd. And if we took time in 1 Peter, I am the chief shepherd. I'm the shepherd, and I'm coming, or if I can, 1 Peter 4, I'm coming for you. I am the good shepherd, I died for you. I'm the great shepherd, I live for you. I'm coming for you. I'm the chief shepherd. I'm the boss. I'm the boss of the whole thing. I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. Wow. And God, isn't that wonderful? But what about tomorrow and the later? We'll do it, even though we're a little over. Revelation chapter 7. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Revelation 7, verse 17, the last verse, last statement in the chapter. For the Lamb, the shepherd, you have to think about it, the shepherd is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. The shepherd is the Lamb who leads the sheep. Now, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed, the little word feed is shepherd, the verb to shepherd, shall shepherd them and lead them, L-E-A-D, unto the living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. God, in our future, what is our future with you? You are going to quit being our shepherd. Never. You're going to be mine. You know me. I know you. You follow me. I lead. You follow. Forever. That's the way it is. I'm the good shepherd, and you don't have to worry. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, tomorrow, and then, we'll know, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's enough. Wow. God, what did you try to tell us inch by inch? Would you pay attention when I tell you they're my sheep? And my sheep are privileged indeed to be mine. And that's your privilege. I trust. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. God, help us a little bit. Help us a lot. And our Father, we're going to thank you very much for dealing with us. God, it's just so normal, natural. It should be expected, being who you are. So God, thank you very much, so that we can say, my Lord and Savior, my Shepherd and King, thank you very much, God. We understand little. We know little. But God, we aren't trusting ourselves. We're trusting you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much indeed. For all that lies ahead, God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we could sing a stanza. Appreciate your patience. 406. 406.